And welcome to the About Clay podcast, created together with Onoma and Radio Fiskars. We're here today with Torbjörn Kvassbø and the museum tour guides, Henny and Pia. Welcome, Torbjörn.
Thank you very much. So, good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
You are a part of this exhibition. You have actually the heaviest work here.
All right.
Red Tubes is what it's called. Could you maybe explain the work to our listeners?
Yes. It is a ceramic sculpture. It's about 1 meter and 40 centimeters tall. Diameter maybe 120 centimeter. And it's totally glazed red.
Does it weigh 500 kilos?
Yeah, more. I guess maybe 700 or something.
Wow. Now, could you tell us a little bit about yourself, who you are, and what you do?
Yes. A ceramic artist for about 40 years now. A long, long career, sitting in my office here in a very small mountain village, quite far away from everything. But we do have internet sometimes. Yes, I am a studio ceramic artist, to make it short. I have been running my own studio for a long, long time.
And what kind of ceramics do you usually make?
Over the last two, three decades, what you can call sculptural ceramics or abstract, expressional ceramics, maybe. Abstract ceramic sculpture.
Okay. In the piece that we have here, it seems like you've gotten some inspiration maybe from medicine. The piece looks like it's created of blood vessels.
Yes. Well, that is one association. There are others as well. My background is pottery on the wheel, functional, and the vessel. You know, when you throw cups and things for storages, you know. Mm-hmm. So my generation have this background, and we always all of us started doing this. So the vessel is a very central element in my work, and it's an archetype object, similar in almost every culture in the world. And the vessel, when the ceramic vessel came to be many thousand years ago, it really changed people's lives, because you then had something to store in. You could contain water, or you can contain food, you know. So it's one of the important steps in development of the human species to what we are today. And then the vessel is actually a part of the idea behind the tubes, because the tube is also a container, you know, and everything in nature is about tube. Every energy that you see in anything that grows, it's about tubes. You have the veins in your body, you know, but you also have the small capillary veins, you know, in trees and in plants, you know. Mankind has been using the tube for everything. I mean, everything we have in ground, you know, is in tubes. Everything we create, when we create the energy, electric power energy, you know, is everything done through tubes. It's a very central object, form, functional shape.
But do you usually use this tubes in all of your works? Is that the basic form or basic component that you build your works out of?
For a few years, I have been investigating the tube element in different ways. It's a play, of course, where I try every possible way to develop something, to create some kind of meaning, opinion, something. A story or something around this tube element. And this is the way of concentration you often work when you work in a material context. You try to find a lot of information in the process, in the material, in the slowness of the work. So for a few years I've been working with the tube. But the tube is as a metaphor for life, it's a metaphor for the body, for the human being. And I've always been working with the vessel, which is also a metaphor for the body, for your human body and for your brain.
Okay. And one more question about the work, since I mentioned that I thought it looked like blood vessels earlier. I think it also looks like a heart.
Yes.
Does that have to do with the metaphors of life and the body?
Yes, it does. The energy of life, where heart is one of the more amazing things we have that keeps us alive. We don't really understand how this heart can beat for 95 years, if you're lucky.
Yeah. You know?
Yeah, it's all amazing. Yeah. This energy is just tremendous. It's fantastic energy.
Yeah.
This is central in my work all the time, as I work with energy, that kind of energy. Yeah.
It's actually really interesting. We spoke to Fausto Salvi, who has this piece called White Magic Tree right next to yours. And he was saying, oh, he really likes this setup. He's very happy to be located next to your work. And he's also talking about the energy of life and how amazing it is that things can grow in nature.
Yeah. So it's a good display when it's displayed in a kind of a greenhouse setting, right?
It's amazing, and it looks amazing when the sun hits it, then it reflects the light.
Yeah.
Like
everything with life needs a lot of light, right? So daylight is always the best.
Yes.
I wish I had the chance to see it. I was actually in Finland just a couple of weeks or 3 weeks ago, but no, I didn't have no time to go to Fiskars, unfortunately. I was in Posio. They have this Arctic Ceramic Center up there, Suku Park, you maybe have heard about.
Yes. Korean
Finnish ceramic artist, you know pretty well, I guess. They are planning for this 2020 General Assembly and Congress for the International Academy of Ceramics. So in 2020, we will all be in Rovaniemi and Posio. There will be exhibitions in Fiskars connected to this event, yes, in 2020.
Okay. So can we then ask you, how are your connections with Finland and Erna? How come... have you met?
Yes, I have. Well, I have had a long connection to Finland through Tapio Yllivikari for many, many years. He's a very good friend and an excellent colleague. We have known each other for a long, long time. I had him to come here to my place in 1993, the first time, and we had then already known each other for quite a long time. Then Pekka Paikari, Aina Altonen, and I met just last year for the first time, but I know everyone's work, of course, through many, many years. So you have some really, really important colleagues, ceramic artists in Finland, and you meet them everywhere in the world because they also travel. They're very active, you know. So I have a strong connection. I'm a very good friend of Suku Park, who's also been in Finland for a long, long time, you know. And it's neighbor country, of course, not far away.
Yeah, no. We have heard from also many other ceramicists now that the international connections are very good, and you meet each other, and it's a lot of fun. And you're going to be very involved now in all of this.
Yeah, I have been. My international network is now quite huge, but I have been working for many, many years. I started to travel in the 1980s, I started to travel, you know, because Norway is a small country. You need a larger horizon, really. You need to meet other challenges that you can get locally in your own country. And if you want to exhibit, Norway is too small. I mean, you can have an exhibition in Oslo maybe every third or fourth year, but not more often than that. Then almost every ceramic artist now is a part of this international network, because ceramic art has always been kind of underdogs compared to the fine arts, you know. The fine arts has been established for a long, long time, and they have made themselves the Lebensraum they need, and they have privileges, and they don't need and they don't want anyone to come to compete. So we have had to fight a lot, really, and we still fight a lot. So we establish our own systems, our own ways to create theoretical capital, to create magazines, to create websites, to meet, to make exhibitions. We have our own venues. this international network is a part of that. So ceramic artists has, among artists, maybe after the musicians, the largest international network, really. It's very vibrant. It's amazing.
And you are going to be a very important person in the International Academy of Ceramics very soon. If you weren't ready.
Yeah, it already takes my sleep, you know. I have been active. We have one organization, only one international for ceramic art, which is called the International Academy of Ceramics, which was established in Geneva in Switzerland in 1953. The same year as I was born. And this organization has slowly been working up its membership, its numbers of members. It's been usually very difficult to become a member because the level is very, very high. When I say that, you actually have quite a few members from Finland. Norway has only 4 members, and 2 of them are dead, you know, so... Today, I'm probably maybe the only left alive member of the ISC. So I have been active in ISC for a while in the council. We have a council, we have a president, we have headquarters in Geneva in Switzerland, in the Museum Ariana, which is a ceramic museum, very beautiful. You should go there and have a look at their collection. It's fantastic. It's just on the same area as United Nations, you know. Mm-hmm. And it is a part of the United Nations, actually, because we are also a part of UNESCO. We are what we call an NGO, non-governmental organization, under UNESCO. So we have a quite important role there if we are able to develop this. So I've been active then in this IAC for maybe 15 years or so, and then in the council for the last maybe 10 years as vice president the last couple of years, and now they elected me to be the new president in the IAC for the six next years to come. Yeah, there's no limousine, there's no private driver, there's nothing to it. Yes, it's all idealistic volunteer work. It's a non-profit organization, and as a non-profit organization, it is very, very, very important for the freedom to speech. I mean, that's the basic thing, you know. We let everyone come raise their voice in a true democratic sense. Very important. Commercialism doesn't do anything for the freedom of speech. We need the non-profit organization. Yeah.
Is this perhaps the agenda you have for your new position, or do you have something else you wish to share with us that you look forward to pushing forward?
Well, it's a good organization. There's very good people. Well, it consists of the very best colleagues you can have in the world. You know, 700 members we are now. And we want to increase the numbers of members. We want to have younger members. We want to be, I will work quite hard to be relevant for young ceramic artists, that they can see that this organization has relevance and importance to them and their life and their work as ceramic artists. So if we can get there slowly, that will be a very good thing. Recruit students, go into dialogue more with the universities, the ceramic departments, the institutions. And because we call ourselves an academy, so we are an academy. We are supposed to take care of the highest level, you know, in our field. Yeah.
So if we stick with the subject education, we spoke to Riitta Talonpoika, and she says she admires you a lot also for what happened when you were studying in Bergen.
Yeah, that is a good story, actually. This is in 1975. I was accepted as a student at Bergen, this is called now, Art Academy, a ceramic department. I was 22 when I was accepted. I had already had a year at university in Oslo, and the average age of the students is quite high, you know, it's maybe 22, 23, 24, and we were quite a strong group of people. And this is a very political time. The 1970s is a really political time, you know, even in Europe, you know. youth rebellion, you know, women's liberation, Vietnam War, the fight about the common market, you know, down there somewhere. Yeah, all this came together, and we thought that what the school gave us, what the university gave us at the ceramic department, doesn't work. This is no plan. There's no strategy. There's no idea behind what we don't learn anything. What we learn is what we learn from ourselves, from the students and our activities. So we were able to have one of the teachers fired. We really mobbed him out of the position. It's not very nice, but it was necessary. I mean, he was there, just taking care of himself and his career, and he just sucked the salary from the school, you know. And we were there on student loans, you know, expensive to be student. And 3 years at university is very quick, very fast, you know. We wanted a good education. So we fired this teacher, and we actually got his salary from the head of the school, from the administration. They came to us and say, here is this money, this man's salary, he has quitted. We're sick and tired of your complaining down at your There is the money. Do whatever you want to do to improve the education. We did. So we started to look into ceramic magazines, the British Craft Council catalog, because in England they were organized, ceramic artists. They have their organization. They had it already then, you know, and big catalog with members, with images of faces and their work. And we just picked out what we thought is interesting. And there was all address and phone number, and we took the phone and they called, would you please come over and teach us a little bit? And they came, you know. Norway was then, compared to England, quite rich. So even if we didn't pay high salaries, we could pay at least twice as much as they would make us teaching in England. So the first one we called was Takeshi Yasuda, which you maybe have heard about. He is now one of the most famous ceramic artists we have. He's from Japan, but he moved to England, and he has been living in England just a few years, married to Sandy Brown when we called him, and he came and he stayed one winter immediately. Oh, stayed with us one winter, and we said, we don't want you to teach. We just want you to sit down in the middle of us and work, do your own work, and we will observe you. Yeah, wow. And that's what it happened. Yes. Takeshi is, by the way, he is also professor at the Royal College, has been, you know, and he built a pottery workshop in Jingdezhen in China. People who know the field will know exactly what I talk about. He built up a fantastic artist in residence place, international one in the porcelain capital of the world, Jingdezhen in China. You know about this place, right?
Yes.
This is the same man, Takeshi. He's now maybe 75, but he's still strong, working very well. You know, we have contact very often. Yeah. Then we continued. We started a guest teacher tradition, which then has become very important. You know, because now every university have guest teachers coming in. You know, yeah. Very good. It's a good story. We had lots of Henry Hammond, Clive Bowen, Richard Batterham, John Maltby. I mean, we had, we picked from the best, very best ceramic artist at that time in the world.
That's amazing. And how does the school work nowadays? Do they still have their ceramics department?
Yes, they do. But it has become more interdisciplinary departments. The same thing has happened everywhere, you know, that they now call themselves more like visual art or design, and maybe material-based. Not specifically called ceramic department, but they still do have, yes. It's different. In Oslo, we have two ceramic or art colleges, huge ones, one in Oslo and one in Bergen. And the one in Bergen has always been very good for crafts because it, close to England, very influenced by Bernard Leach, Hamada tradition, you know, the material that speaks, the craft. that speaks, you know, in functional ceramics. But now it has actually changed. Bergen has become a place where they do research on pretty advanced level, become very interdisciplinary. They produce a lot of theory. I mean, they publish a lot in Bergen. So Oslo is now the one that is taking care of the craft, actually, in ceramics. So the Oslo ceramic department has become really, really good. So it's maybe a little bit something that happened also in Konstfack in Stockholm. It's also still a very good ceramic department, you know, for ceramic material innovative experiments, you know. Yeah. And in Finland it's a little different because you have emerged very much with from craft to design and then from design and economics, you know. So yeah. it's another... It's just another fusion.
The government has done a lot of cuts with the money, so they have to do these fusions.
Yeah, you have been through a lot of what we call steel baths during the years. You have been forced to be inventive. Yeah. And I really admire Tapio for this, because I know how he has been struggling in the ceramic department in Helsinki and have to be a part of this change all the time and have to adjust and adapt and be very innovative in order to survive. So it's been really, really smart, very good. So we are a little different. Finland, Norway, Sweden, Denmark. Education is different, which is good. But you know, now we have a Finnish professor in Caroline Slotte in Oslo at the ceramic department, and we're really happy for having her. She is excellent. She's very good. Yeah. She has been, I think, 1 year now professor in Oslo, doing very well.
So clearly you have a very good knowledge of the international scene. And we do tend to ask everyone kind of the same questions. You haven't been here and seen the work, so it's perhaps a bit difficult to bring someone else forward that you would say deserves attention. If you want to, of course, it's very good.
I can have a look through the catalog. I would say overall it's just a fantastic thing that you have been doing there in Fiskars. I mean, so much work, so much resources involved. It's just amazing that you're able to do this and on this very high level. It's an excellent. I know who is exhibiting there. It's very, very good. Yeah, it's a fantastic project. I also observe for the general assembly that we do in Rovaniemi Polsio in 2020 that there in Fiskars and in Finland in general is a very, very strong activity among ceramic artists. Good to organize, produce exhibitions, very good ambassadors for ceramic art, which is very special for the Nordic countries. I think the makers themselves organize so well and do things, you know, that the artists themselves do this. This is great. But I will not put forward any specific name. I think everyone here is very, very important. You have been able to pick from in a very big variety of regions, you know, and from countries. You pick some of the best people from different countries, you know. Yeah, it's very good. Good curating.
This is very nice. We will tell Erna if she hasn't got time to listen to the recording.
She's great. Yeah, but I mean, visiting Fiskars last year is just amazing. I've never been there before. And then we were there last year in the same errand as this year to prepare for 2020. You know, and we stayed 1 day in Fiskars, you know, and just we want to move there, you know. We want, yes, it's so nice. It's so nice. Yeah. So what I see also in the catalog, you have Matthias Limatainen, very young, very interesting ceramic artist. He's also on my list, you know, when I do things. I'm in touch with him, you know, and people of his generation in Scandinavia when when I'm asked to curate or do something internationally. So Matthias is on my list, has been for quite a long time. Very good.
Then maybe one final question. So we know that the IAC is going to take up some of your time, but what else are you doing at the moment?
I have a huge exhibition opening in Paris, September 23, in what is called the Sèvres Ceramic Museum. It is connected to the Sèvres Porcelain Factory. It's a very fine old ceramic museum. And they arrange a huge, the exhibition of the year is with one of my student colleagues in ceramics, Marit Tinglev, who was professor in Oslo before Caroline Slotte, and then me, and one textile artist who also was a student at the same time as, so we were students together in Bergen, a part of the same revolt, student revolt, you know. So this has been occupying a lot of time. So last 2 months I have been packing, making crates, packing large sculptures. So in 1 week there is a big truck coming. It's about 25 huge sculptures that is being shipped down. So it's so much work with this. And then the Queen of Norway is coming down to open this exhibition. It's quite an event, really. So, well, sometimes you look forward to it. Sometimes you don't sleep at night, you know. And something can go wrong, of course, in transport or... So now I'm doing the last packing this week, quite busy actually. So my assistant is just waiting outside the door and waiting for to leave, to go down to my storage and continue packing. So this exhibition then lasts until end of March, yes. When I go to Paris now in 1 week. And stay there until the opening because it's so much work installing. And then I go straight to Taiwan for the International Academy of Ceramics General Assembly, where I take over as president. And then I have to go back to Paris for this art fair event. So it's all is quite busy, yeah.
But we're very happy that you took your time to talk to us.
Yes, thank you so much. It has been really interesting.
Yes, thank you the same. It's the first time in my life I ever did Skype, so this was quite nice.
Learning new skills.
Yes. But so just try to find out how I take this off, right?
It's just the red.
It's just the red.
Thank you very much
again. Thank you so much for your time.
With everything.
Thank you, and have a good day. Bye-bye.